Dying Wish sur Restless et dans Bang Bang spécial Hellfest 2026. Hello, how
Hello.
Are you?
Wonderful, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
What represents Hellfest for you? Is that the best festival in the world?
pretty darn close, I'll say. We played 2 years ago at the Warzone stage, which is where we are again today. We played earlier, obviously, than we're playing today. Today we have like a really prime spot.
Yeah.
Before I came here, I had the best catering I've ever had in my entire life. The hospitality is amazing. The crowd is just juiced. We don't really have festivals like this in America that much. So it's really special to be a part of this.
There's a real difference between the Americans one and the European ones.
It's just more common here, I think. In the States, you know, we have a lot of really great festivals, but they're more spread out around the country and they don't happen as frequently. And so the festival season here is such a special thing because, you know, it's 6 weeks of fest after fest and keeping us busy. It's awesome.
Maybe too many festivals in Europe, but it's his work.
I think you got a good balance.
Do you remember the first festival you went or the first gig? That's not a real...
The first festival I ever went to was Warped Tour.
Really?
Probably 2008 Warped Tour.
Okay.
I grew up in Oregon, which is in the northwestern part of the states, but I lived in a really small town in the southern part of the state, and I didn't move to the Portland area until I was like, you know, 13 years old. And so my mom took me to my first Warped Tour ever, and she might have had more fun than I did, but yeah, it was awesome.
Did your mother was into alternative music?
Oh yeah, my mom is a rocker.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
We were having this conversation the other day, like about, you know, our top four shows, and I texted her and asked, and her first concert ever was Depeche Mode.
Whoa!
So yeah, really she's cool. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, is she now really happy when you get to play with bands that she likes?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, her favorite bands are like Deftones and Gojira, and we haven't really crossed that yet, but we'll see.
Soon.
Hopefully it's on our bucket list.
Two years.
Yes.
Max.
I hope so.
And we used to ask to the artists we have an interview, which music, which thing decided you to come in metal scene? Except your mom.
How did you meet this kind of music?
MySpace. Yeah. I feel like I'm 31, so I feel like a lot of people my age have a very similar story of, like, you know, finding Bring Me the Horizon, you know, or anything. I started listening to, like, I was friends with, like, a lot of, like, metalheads in middle school. You know, I was, like, 10, 11, 12. years old, and we listened to, you know, Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden, and like all the, you know, classic stuff, but I didn't get so much into like the actual subculture of all of it until like MySpace happened. Yeah,
it was a really amazing thing, MySpace, at this time. We remember
the discoveries you could make on MySpace were amazing. Like,
yeah,
so easy.
I feel like we're having a similar renaissance for the youth now, but their MySpace is like TikTok or Instagram.
Yeah.
It's just really accessible in a way that it felt like it wasn't quite for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why did you choose metalcore? Because of Bring Me the Horizon?
As in like starting a band? I don't really know.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I love metalcore, but my preferred genre of heavy music is for sure hardcore. But, you know, I always wanted to also sing in a band. So I think metalcore kind of like made a little bit sense that way. Yeah. But that's, you know... We started out like kind of writing more of like the hardcore side of metalcore, and then I think it just went ended up going full metalcore at some point because, you know, your girl's got to sing. But I don't know how it happened. Yeah, just kind of naturally.
And the emotion about this. I mean, like, is it for the anger, for crying, for all the emotions? I don't know.
All of it. Yeah. I mean... It is interesting because, like, our songs are very emotional, very heavy. Yeah. Some of them are very personal. Some of them are very political. you know, but there's still so much fun to perform live. So mm-hmm. like most of the time I can't help but smile, even though I'm, you know, writing about, you know, a lot of sad things. But yeah, no, it's just, I've always listened to, you know, my favorite like genre of hardcore was always like the more politically motivated or the more like emotional side. Like Have Heart was like one of the first hardcore bands I ever listened to. And they have like a very, you know, meaningful message behind it. And so I kind of always just thought that that would be part of our songs.
Do you think that the more you sing, the more you get comfortable with it, the more you feel free to sing more? Is it like going this way?
I think it changes after every release we do. Like I remember like after the first record being like, I want to sing more. After the second record being like, okay, I want to sing more. And then on the third record, I was like, okay, maybe I sang too much. You know? So it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a constant like struggle of like,
yeah.
Because I used to prefer singing over screaming so much more. Now that I've gotten better at screaming and have, it's like just kind of a muscle memory for me now. I'm like, okay, well, I'm kind of having a lot of fun doing this right now. I kind of want to scream a little bit more. So I think every release will be a little bit different, which is what you want to do as an artist anyways.
And you were saying that on stage you couldn't help yourself to smiling because you're having fun singing. Is it, what is your fuel to perform on stage? Is that, do you rely a lot on the fun, on the technical aspect, on the connecting to the emotions? How do you?
I used to a lot, and then I learned that the more the adrenaline kicked in, the worse it felt for my body. Like, and I would just like wake up the next day because I was so disconnected and like in the moment, that adrenaline, I would just wake up feeling horrible. My neck and my back hurts. So I'm kind of like finding a balance between like, you know, I am a pretty physical performer, but like I don't need to be doing backflips on stage. You know, that's like nobody needs that. So trying to find a balance. In that way has been a constant battle of mine. Yeah
maybe you should have a headset like this so you could like do flips and stuff
like Britney. Yeah
it can be cool.
I'll try it one day. Yeah. I'll try anything once. Yeah.
So when you're on stage, this is the best part of your life because you're outside of all the bad things.
Yeah, I mean, we spent the first 5 months at home, and that was the longest time we had gone without playing a show since the pandemic. And I was very aware of the fact that I am a person outside of this band, and I need to find my hobbies and I need to find the things that keep me motivated and connected to myself. But I do definitely feel most like myself in this environment. So yeah, it is, you know, an incredible outlet for me, and I'm very lucky to be able to do this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true that we can lose ourselves because we're on stage. We're the band for the fun, for the emotion, for the energy, for the power of it.
Right.
Because it's really powerful.
And also living for the band and not for yourself anymore.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Like I feed off of the energy of the crowd. So if I can tell that that's the experience they're having, it's easier for me too, for sure.
So you have an album called Flesh Stays Together. It's a bit different than the other one. How can I say in English? Sorry.
That's okay.
It is maybe less anger to fight things, maybe more deception. I don't know. Well, okay. How can I say that?
It's a little less aggressive. It's a little, well, I don't think that it's not aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's less.
Yeah, it's, we definitely wanted to explore kind of outside of, you know, because I think especially our first and second record was very, you know, oh, they sound like this band from the early 2000s or the late 90s.
Okay, yeah.
And I think we wanted to explore like, okay, how can we do that and like, still but like kind of do our own thing. And so we explored a lot. We did some more artistic things, avant-garde, and like there's some stuff that I'm really proud of on the record, but I don't think that we'll ever do it again. At least not for this next record. I think that it was quite the learning experience. It was the first time we'd worked with a new producer. And so we kind of now like have, you know, full steam ahead, like this really clear picture of everything that we loved from that record and the last two and like what we want to accomplish next.
Yeah, you need to try things to know where you want to go after.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And some old bands just do always the same song. AC/DC? No.
I mean, it works.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm not a musician, but I think that when you're an artist, you need to challenge yourself, try things, not be always the same. But at the same time, you know that the audience want to have the sound that is yours. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite difficult.
It is.
Choose and do things. Because, you know, you have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's some songs on the record that I think are the best songs that we've ever done. And there's some songs that, you know, I don't know. I feel like we kind of like would have maybe missed the mark on it. But I don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying this. But that's just genuinely how I feel.
You're honest.
Looking back, I mean, I think that, you know, we did everything to the like our ability and our musicianship was really amazing and the songwriting is really great.
I think it's also because a record is a picture of you in a moment and then you keep on evolving and sometimes you evolve faster and sometimes not. But and I think also when you get to tour on an album, that's where you really discover how you feel about it, or maybe change your mind about, oh, we should have done this or that. Or
there's parts on every, like, songs on every record. Like, somebody asked me the other day, there's a song on the first record, I can't remember, but it starts with a breakdown and it has, like, a really bright singing chorus. I can't remember what it's called. But someone was like, we want you to play that again. And I was like, no, like, I literally never want to play that song again just because, you know, you just move past it, you know? But
or maybe it will come back one day.
Maybe if we do, like, a
we never know.
Anniversary or if people are, you know, annoying enough about it, then.
I think about all those huge bands that said, I don't want to sing this song again. Creep, Radiohead. Fuck, exactly. They said, no, we don't want to sing it again.
Yeah.
We just hear too much on the radio too, and it's awesome, but please.
That's how you sell tickets, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, true. I mean, I don't think it's really hard for them to sell tickets, but...
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I have a question. So sorry about mentioning the fact that you're a woman.
Oh.
but we see that there's a lot of female fanchette bands that are coming now that are really inspiring for all the girls, and I think also brings more girls to listen to this music, just like Evanescence did back in the days.
Uh-huh.
Even if they're coming back, I mean, what is it like to be part of this strong movement?
It's amazing. You know, I grew up in a scene that I never even realized that I didn't feel represented in until I started seeing bands that had women in it.
It was my next question.
Yeah. And so to me, my idea of my participation in the scene was always to just, you know, be an enjoyer and a supporter of it until I started to see other women singing in bands or, you know, booking shows or, you know, selling merch or doing any of the things. And then I realized, like, oh, like, this is what's possible. And so I think what we're seeing is the future of the scene and all of these young people that are growing up, like their new idea of heavy music is going to be that women's involvement is normalized. And that's just one step in the right direction for us to have a really healthy, balanced community.
So you mean that before seeing like female fronted bands, you never thought you could sing in a metal band?
I always wanted to be a singer or be in a band, but in a metal band, honestly, I don't really ever thought. I don't think until about maybe 10 years ago that I ever thought I would be in one.
And do you have any memories of which artist made you connect with this path?
Yeah, honestly, there's a band from Calgary called Mortality Rate. Their singer Jess is a good friend of mine. She's also in another band called World of Pleasure. But we were at, there used to be a hardcore festival in Seattle called Rainfest, and it was the last year of Rainfest. And I'd seen women, like 2016, like it was starting to become more common, but a lot of women were just like, you know, mostly in punk bands. But my friend Jess, she sang, screamed in a hardcore band, and seeing someone that I know, especially like that, it like is someone that I relate to. I was like, oh wait, I could do this too.
That's amazing.
Moi, j'ai pas grand chose à ajouter parce que je bois vos paroles.
Sorry. He says he's just a spectator of our discussion.
That's really nice. No, I just was thinking about the fact that we can feel the emotion of the other one when we can connect with this kind of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see someone like you and just shout or screaming or things like this, you want to do it, but you don't think you can do it. You don't know why.
Right,
but at a moment, you say, okay, we can do it. Fuck.
Well, I mean, like, these festivals are so cool and really important, but I think that's why it's even more so important for people to, like, go to the local shows and, like, be involved in, like, the smaller community because, like, then it just opens up more doors for, like, you know, meeting people. People always ask, like, how do you start a band? You just go to shows and meet people. It'll happen organically. But, yeah, I don't know if I wasn't a part of, like, a DIY community like that if I would have ever been in a band,
So thank you for everything. Thank you for your music and
all those
answers. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thanks.
Toutes nos émissions et chroniques sont maintenant disponibles sur vos plateformes de podcast préférées. Spotify, Deezer, Apple, Amazon. N'hésitez pas à vous abonner.